Okay, we're going to begin very shortly. Just to give you an update of what we have been seeing this last few weeks with the reference to the CDS program. All right, and they have been hard at work. They create paper, flowers, and it comes out that way. Okay. Even the men, huh? That's pretty amazing. Here we go. And then the young people are involved as well. And then here comes, one of the best things they have is a special sense of friendship with each other, and there are groups of people who just naturally go together, and it's just wonderful to see them. And of course, then that's the one is a big one. This is a smaller one. These are the cherry blossoms. You don't have to go all the way to Japan. You here we go. And so we make them there, right here. It's quite a delicate thing to do. You have to be pretty dexterous with your hand to be able to do that. And then they are the finished products. Then there's the orange basket. They didn't actually make the basket. They just decorated. But if you have to make the basket, that would be quite a feat. Look at the finished product. It's really nice to see a whole lot of these things here. This is for them to bring home. You don't have to go to Chinatown to buy one. It's better than what you can see out in town, actually. Here we go. And these are all the older ladies, and they come again. The whole place is a sea of red. And Chinese New Year things here. And it's just been wonderful to see them happily doing all of these things here. And this year was a special. So, instead of having ang pao from Sheng Siong, we have our own ang pao made, and so there we go. And this is wonderful. There we go. Some of them are large ones, depending on how much you want to put inside. And then some of them are, if you can function like a fan, if you're very, very hot, and it's just been there. Then after that, they had a Chinese New Year. This is where the tossing of the salad and everything else in them. They all seem to enjoy that so much. There we go. Well, it's not a food fight. Yes, good thing. Otherwise, we have inquiry. But there we go. There's just a sense of special sense of enjoyment for everybody. This part of it. And they're still doing it personally. getting into the habit of it, and they're just tossing it as well, and it's just wonderful to see the sense of joy that is there and amongst so many people. We had a lot of people. Okay, now just to let you know, we move on to the family camp. Guess how many people more we are going to sign up for? 16 more people, that's it. So we're going to close the things here as soon as we can, because we just don't have enough people. Last year, we stopped at 500, and we're going to have to stop at 500 too, simply because we just don't have the space to be there. And to have more would be a big challenge. So we'll just have to figure out a way of how we can do this, right? And I really hope that you will think about these things here and sign up. We look into these things here. We're going to close the registration by today. If we can sign up, we would have hit 500. We will close it, and then literally wait for next year. It's a very big thing here, and our next focus will have to be not this. Our focus will be to look at the Easter the Shangri-La event coming up, and that is something we want to look at. Okay. And then one last one is there? Okay, this is the ACM. That's for next Sunday, right? So next Sunday, we meet. Next year will be probably a change of date. There's too many things going on at one time. So we will space it out a little bit next year. But we'll just come together, and it will also be election time. And it will mean to say that we will look at the new session members who will be elected, and so, and we will just take a look at this. So next Sunday, 1:30, we'll be coming up to on this week of ACM. Please plan to be there. Okay, and then one last item, the Chinese New Year. We have over 300 already signed up. We usually have more than that, 400 or 500 people, but we just glad to go to see. And so plan to sign up for it, because this is for catering purposes, and otherwise we're going to end up with too many people, not enough food, or too much food, not enough people. You know, we're just going to try to balance. It'll be a wastage also. So let's look forward to a lot of these things here, and he's wishing everybody the Lord's blessings for the Chinese New Year. Right, let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Hong Xuan. Welcome to today's morning worship service. A special welcome to those who may be new among us. Today is the first time I'm chairing alone. And so with much fear and trembling and knowing how unqualified I am, I'm going to begin with prayer. Let's pray. Our dearest God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can even come before you in all our sinfulness. Thank you so much for your grace and mercy. As we come into your house this morning and before your holy presence, may all praise be to your glory. May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable to you. We ask you to bless this time, and please be with Pastor Eugene as he brings us your word from Psalm 104. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I carry on, an announcement from the camp committee. You've heard Pastor say that 484 members have signed up. And so we've actually taken up 218 rooms from La Grandeur, leaving us a grand total of 12 rooms left. So if anyone is still deliberating or is waiting for maybe leave to be approved, the encouragement is to sign up first so that the committee can know whether we need to request for more rooms, right? So please sign up, and today is the last week. We really don't want to miss being at family camp. So the pulpit theme for the first 2 months of the year is "Bless the Lord, O my soul," taken from Psalm 103. What has this meant to you since the start of the year? For me, the year has started really fast and furiously, especially on the work front. I have had what felt like make or break presentations and also relentless stakeholder engagements. So at work, we launched a pilot exhibition to get feedback and to guide our planning for a future permanent exhibition. And so since the launch of the exhibition from end October last year until now, I've had to lead close to 60 stakeholder tours and walkthroughs through the exhibition, with each one noting their feedback and also answering questions, some harder than others. Thank God that the engagements have gone well, much to my and I think my boss's great relief. With words of commendation and congratulations, the heart can become lifted up, as Moses warned the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, such that we forget the Lord and think that it is by our power and the might of our hands that have gained us whatever success we have. Thank God that He has not allowed me to forget how, in doing the exhibition, the odds were stacked against us and how inadequate we were, how there were moments in the journey that felt impossibly hard, and how I felt like and wondered whether we should have gone for something easier. How could I forget that it was the Lord who equipped, who abounded grace and sent help along the way, like-minded help, and just unmistakably blessed. And so truly, my soul cannot but really bless the Lord for His goodness, faithfulness, and greatness. The biblical principle from Deuteronomy 8, as Pastor revealed, is to not forget by choosing to remember. This sounds very straightforward, but it is not, because men all too easily forget. And that's why nations build museums and memorials. The way to not forget is to actively remember. And the way I personally try to remember these very distinct experiences of God's grace and mercy and how He confirms His work is by recording it in a journal. I have a stack of these from 2013 that I review from time to time. I also love looking at clouds in the sky and take too many photos of them, because the clouds remind me of the pillar of cloud and fire that was the Lord's presence with Israel as they journeyed in the wilderness. They also remind me of how far-reaching God's faithfulness is, and how, like a thick cloud, the Lord blots out our sins and transgressions so that they become, as it were, invisible. As a church, there's also much that we can remember how God has blessed us. Next Sunday is our annual congregational meeting, or ACM. At the session meeting this week, we reviewed the significant events of 2025. We saw how it is God who has enabled the Singapore and IPC churches to really grow from strength to strength. This has been a work for over 50 years. We were reminded of how it is truly God who has provided and moved hearts so that we can continue to give towards missions work, to bring light to those who sit in darkness and to be a practical help to lives. Brethren, let us really look forward to ACM next week to hear from our pastor and treasurers and to have our hearts lifted up and to lift up the Lord's name. So our first song this morning is Praise to the Lord the Almighty. God has indeed condescended to let us know him personally and to be able to trace his hand so clearly. Yet he is God Almighty, and he is the King of all creation to be worshipped and praised as such. May we, as the songwriter says, ponder anew who the Lord is, his person, his works toward us, and as the lyrics say, let all that is in us adore him. Let us take this song together. And the AV team. Psalm 103 verse 18 reads, "To such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them." Pastor Van reminded us that the Bible prescribes a way for us to bless the Lord, not just with words of praise, but to keep, to remember his commandments and to do them. So keep, remember, and do. What is the greatest commandment the Lord Jesus taught us to remember and to do? It is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. This commandment should not be a burden to keep, because God truly gives us every reason to be filled with love and thanksgiving to Him, not just in giving to us salvation, but in manifesting His grace and mercy so clearly in our lives. Please allow me to share this. You see, my 86-year-old father has started coming to church with YC and me regularly for Sunday school and Chinese worship, with Mom joining occasionally. This is since 5th October last year. And before that, my parents would only come for special occasions such as Chinese New Year, Mid-Autumn and Caroling, and sometimes at Shangri-La. I don't know why exactly Pa agreed to come after that 4th October, Mid-Autumn, but I'm just so thankful. In fact, today marks also the first time Mom is at morning worship in the sanctuary today with us. Now my mom is clearly embarrassed there. So my parents are not yet believers, but I'm just so thankful that they can come into the Lord's house where His presence is and to listen to His word. Thank God for the pastors and the brethren who have gone out of their way to greet them and help them to feel welcome, including the Tuesday evening's gym group with Dr. Effie. Really thankful also to the various doctors who have specially helped with medical appointments and their kindness on that. You know, one Sunday I spotted Pa talking to Lily and Harry in church. Lily revealed excitedly that actually she had known my father for some time now, without knowing that he was my father. It turned out that they had met each other at East Coast Beach, where Ba walks every morning, sometimes with Ma. And so Lily was to my father, the tall, thin lady who walks super fast. And my father was to Lily, the uncle who sometimes would invite her to join him and his khakis for breakfast after the morning walk. So they met and spoke without knowing that they had a Bethany connection. I was amazed by how coincidental this is, except that with God, nothing is random or coincidental. How the Lord encourages the heart. Why would the Lord answer prayers like this? Not because of anything I am or did, but because, in the words of Psalm 103, He just crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Brethren, our soul can certainly bless the Lord, not just for special and personal blessings as an individual, but as a church, as we see how God has truly promised His spiritual blessings planned for the church, and we see this being fulfilled in Bethany, where we can continue to seek to reflect God's light and love. What shall we render to the Lord for all His benefits toward us indeed? Nothing very much that we can do, but to truly seek to praise Him from the depths of our soul and to love Him with all our heart, our soul and strength, as He loves us and He first loved us. Our second song this morning is O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. It's a beautiful hymn that reminds us of God's love, one that will not let us go in times when challenges of life cause us to be downcast or we don't feel particularly blessed. The writer of this song, George Matheson, wrote this hymn in 1882 on the evening of his sister's wedding. A happy occasion, but he felt alone and very much in sorrow and pain because by then he had lost his sight completely and his sister was his sole caregiver. The woman that he wanted to marry also no longer wanted to marry him because of his condition. We look at the words of this of the hymn, O love that will not let me go, the words say, and in the second stanza, O light that follows all my way. I yield my flickering torch to thee, and to those who are using the bulletin, there's a missing line, my heart restores its borrowed ray, that in the sunshine's blaze is day, may brighter, fairer be. So the Lord's love was a light in the darkness of George Matheson's world. It was, oh joy, and when the pain seemed too much to bear, oh cross, that lifted up my head and was the most visible and undeniable manifestation of the Lord's love, and who will. The reminder that the Lord's love is an everlasting love that will never let us go. God will never let us go, and neither can anything separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Let us take this second hymn together. Please stand. George Mattheson, despite being blind, went on to study theology and became a teacher and minister in the Scotland Church. He certainly learned to bless the Lord. So thank you very much, and I'll hand the time over to Pastor Eugene.
Well, thank you, Hong Xuan. Appreciate you leading us before the Lord's throne of grace. And thank you for your thoughts. Well, good morning to one and all. For those of you who are new in our midst, my name is Eugene. I'm one of the pastors here in Bethany. And truly, it is my joy and privilege to be here to bring you the Lord's Word. Well, before I continue, I just want to wish everyone a happy, blessed Chinese New Year in advance. 新年快乐! I'm not going to attempt any more Chinese greetings, but just wishing you the Lord's blessings and His mercy and His abundance in this Chinese New Year. And may we have a good time with our family and with one and all. As we take up the Lord's word this morning, let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before you to thank you for being our great God, who has poured out so many blessings in our life for us to appreciate, for us to enjoy. Father, as we come together this morning as your people to worship you and to hear your word, will you speak to us from Psalm 104? Help us to consider how the psalmist blessed you from the level of his soul as he ponders over your greatness. We pray and ask for your blessing. Be with us. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the pulpit theme, Bless the Lord. And it's been a really wonderful and enriching time studying Psalm 103, looking at how the psalmist David approached blessing God at the level of his soul. And I hope that the lessons have stood out to you as it has for me. You know, as I took time to think of the Lord's personal benefits, the Lord's great mercy, how he has forgiven me of my sins, and his promises to his covenantal people, the heart cannot but truly bless him for all that he has done, for all that he is to me. Now, we're going to shift gears and we're going to look at a new psalm today. And we're going to look at Psalm 104, which is just after Psalm 103. And here Psalm 104 also begins with these words, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And here the psalmist, it is not written who the psalmist is. We do not know. Some speculate it could be David, but it is an unknown psalmist right here. And the psalmist begins with these words as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But today we're going to take time to look at Psalm 104. And we'll begin to realize that Psalm 104 is vastly different from Psalm 103. You see, Psalm 103, the focus is very much at the personal level. How God has blessed us at a personal level, his mercy to us, who he has been to us. It's very personal, and this is why many of us can identify with it very much. But Psalm 104, the focus is different right here. And the focus is captured in the title of our message today. O Lord, my God, you are very great. And here we see the psalmist being caught up with the greatness of God as he looked at God's creation. And from there, to bless the Lord at the level of his soul. And this is something that we want to take time to explore today. The greatness of God. See, the idea of God's greatness is something that is perhaps lost on many today. Not many think of God's greatness in the way that the psalmist did. In fact, when we think of the word greatness, I wonder what comes to your mind. And for many people, it could be the greatness of men and what men can do. And so 2 weeks ago, there was a man from the US. His name is Alex Honnold. And he attempted something that's seemingly great, right? He went to Taipei and he climbed Taipei 101 just with his bare hands and some chalk. And he scaled the whole tower in 1.5 hours. And that became quite a sensation around the world. Everyone was posting news coverage about him. Even local newspapers were covering him and talking about him. And it was so inspiring to people that apparently in Taiwan, many Taiwanese men tried to do the same thing. They went to Taipei 101 and there are footages of them trying to climb. Apparently, most of them couldn't make past the first floor. And so that's where we see greatness for the world. When the world thinks of greatness, it's often related to men. And even when we talk about the greatness of God, how do we see it actually? And many times we see the greatness of God with reference to our circumstances. Now, God is great because we got a promotion in our career, in our workplace. God is great. We got our BTO ballot after 7 tries. Right? God is great because of the blessings that he has given to us. And many times when we talk about God's greatness, it's often tied to what God has done for us. And that's where we are at if we are honest with ourselves, including myself. But here as we look at Psalm 104, we see the psalmist looking at God's greatness in a very different way. There was a sense of being caught up with God's greatness right here And this is what we want to explore today, this morning, as we read Psalm 104. How can we come to see God's greatness the way the psalmist did? What can we learn from the psalmist as he looked at God's greatness and blessed him at the level of his soul? And so this is something that we will be exploring today. And because this is a psalm that focuses a lot on nature and creation, I'll be showing some photos on creation just to aid us in looking at how the psalmist sees creation. This has been green light by Pastor, so this is something which I thank God that he has granted his grace for us to do, to look at. But really, I think this is what we want to explore, looking at some things that the psalmist was able to see, and to ask ourselves, how can we look at God's greatness the way the psalmist did? And so as we look at Psalm 104, there are three things that I would like to share with us for us to consider. Where does it begin for the psalmist when to see God's greatness and to appreciate it like this? And the first word that comes is this word called consciousness. The consciousness of God. And here in Psalm 104, we see how the psalmist had a deep sense of consciousness of God. Take a look at this in verse 1. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty." And this is where the psalmist begins writing his psalm. His focus was very much on God. It is all about God. In fact, if you read the whole Psalm 104, we're not going to read the whole thing today, but in your own time, you read it, you'll notice that the whole psalm's focus is about God, and there's hardly any mention of himself in this psalm. In fact, if you were to try to count the number of first-person pronouns inside, the I and the mine, you'll find it only in the first verse, when he refers to God as his God, and the last three verses when he responds with praising God. The whole psalm is really about God. And this was the consciousness that the psalmist had about God right here. And I wonder how many of us carry such a consciousness of God like the psalmist did. For us, if we are honest with ourselves, most of the time, many times, we are more conscious of our own lives, of the things that we need to do, of what's coming up. And the consciousness of God could be sadly lacking. For us, you know, this coming week, those of us who celebrate Chinese New Year, we are conscious of Chinese New Year. We're conscious of the visits, conscious of having family over, conscious of what we need to do and prepare, clean the house, cook the food. I was talking to one of the uncles in SSP, and he was telling me that he's going to make his signature Chinese New Year dish. It takes 5 days to make it. 5 days, prepare the ingredients, got to boil, double boil. And, you know, and that's the thing that we are all anticipating and preparing. And it's wonderful. Wonderful to plan and to prepare and do all these things. But along with the consciousness of the things we need to do, do we have that consciousness of God the way the psalmist did? And sometimes it can be challenging, it can be tough. You know, as a young parent myself, I speak of this. It can be challenging. Right? Why am I conscious of? I'm conscious of my children and their schedules quite a bit. This year especially, my son is now in P3. And one thing we realized is that P3, there's a lot more homework for the primary school kids. Primary 1, Primary 2 is actually honeymoon stage. Right? Come back, can play already. But now every day come back, got homework. One day he came back and he said, "I got a lot of homework today." Then we asked him why. He said that, "Oh, because I didn't do my homework last week." And I asked him, "How come you found out?" "Oh, I saw my friends doing correction for that homework and I realized I've not done that homework." And then we were like, "Oh man, we got to keep up with his homework. We got to keep up with his stuff and, you know, making sure that things are done properly." And it can be hard to find that consciousness of God. But here we see the psalmist having that strong sense of consciousness of God. And that's what helped him to be able to appreciate God's greatness at this level. Now you go on to read, as he began with this consciousness of God, he began to see God in the everyday things in this world. Take a look at this in verse 2. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Now, this is how the psalmist saw God. He saw God in what he saw in the sky. Now, to help us appreciate this, I put up some photos to just capture some of these things for us. Right, just a disclaimer, these are not my photos. I just typed stunning pictures of the sky and I pulled out some photos for us to appreciate. Right, can we have the first photo? And so this is a photo of the sky where sun was rising. I think this is in Australia because there's a kangaroo there. And here you see, this is what the psalmist was able to see. God covering himself with light as a garment. What does God need to clothe himself? He doesn't need the branded clothing that we wear, right? Louis Vuitton, Hermes, all these things are beneath him. What does he need? What does he have? Light. And that was how the psalmist saw the greatness of God as he was conscious of him. Right? And then we go on to the next photo. And this is the sky, right? The heavens, right? The heavens, vast, wide, expansive, yet in the psalmist's view, it is just like a curtain which God draws and stretches out. Next photo. Right, the heavens being his abode, upper chambers laid up in the waters above the heavens. Right, the, God doesn't need a GCB or a huge mansion in Beverly Hills. It's up here. And in fact, Solomon said in 1 Kings 8, the heaven of heavens are not able to contain God for his dwelling. And this is how the psalmist was just so captured with the greatness of God. And then we look at the clouds. Who makes the clouds his chariot? And look at this photo. Is that the next photo? Okay, these are what we call roll clouds. Right? It is a very special cloud formation where cold air interacts with hot, warm air over the sea, and it forms a roll. Right? If you do a time lapse, you'll see them rolling, and they can stretch for kilometers. Right? And these are clouds that the psalmist saw as God's chariots. And next photo, I like this one. Now, this is called the Kelvin Helmholtz cloud formation. Right? And this is a very interesting formation where the top layer moves faster than the bottom layer, and it causes these waves. Some people think that Van Gogh was inspired by these clouds to draw his Starry Night. And you know, this was the kind of these are the things that we can see in the sky that just captures God's greatness. And thank you. I think this is all. And this is what the psalmist was able to see. As he was conscious of God, there he began to see God in the sky, in the everyday things that we have in this world. Of course, the psalmist did not have very nice DSLR cameras to capture these moments. He used his eye to see, perhaps not as beautiful as what these photographers have captured, but he was able to see God in all these things. And I wonder if we can see God as we look up in the sky. Many times if we are honest, we look up and we see the sky, we start to wonder, is it going to rain today? When you bring in my laundry, the sun very bright, the light so bright, means it's going to be a really hot day. Or we look out to like this past 2 weeks, hazy, you know, somewhere is burning. And then we get upset and we complain. But can we see God the way the psalmist did? Consciousness, we can, if we begin with the sense of consciousness of God. And so here we see the psalmist, with that consciousness, he saw God's greatness in the sky. Now from the word consciousness, we move on to the next word. And the word is contemplation. And the psalmist did not just stop at being conscious of God. He contemplated God's greatness as he looked at the world around him. Contemplation means to think, to reflect, to ponder. And here, as he contemplated, he began to see God's greatness in various ways. And here in verse 5 to 9, he contemplated God's greatness in creating the world. Right, verse 5, we have this. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment, the ocean. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. And this is how the psalmist contemplated God's greatness in creating the world. He looked at the land, he looked at the oceans, he looked at how the world is so precisely kept in the way we see it, and he just marveled at God's greatness. Now, I put up some photos of land and ocean pictures for us to appreciate as well. And when you think of God creating the land, you know, is God just simply making flat land across the world? Not at all. God has created the land in such magnificent ways. And I was just Googling, so I typed stunning pictures of rock formations, and I found a couple of pretty interesting photos. Now, this is called the Wave. It's at one of the canyons in Arizona, USA. And the Wave is a sandstone formation that has pink, red, yellow, white hues that just creates this look. Like, it's really beautiful. And this is what we see here, right, in the next photo. Now, this one's nice. This is the Rainbow Mountain in Peru. So this was only discovered 10 years ago when the snow melted and global warming snow melted. And it revealed this mountain behind the snow. And so it's a recent discovery for people. And here we see how it had so many different colors. That's why they call it the Rainbow Mountain. And of course, other pictures that come up. So this is Travertine Terraces in Turkey, where we see hot thermal springs being formed inside this travertine shapes and formation. Right, the name in Turkish, I can't pronounce it, but it means cotton castle, right, because it looks like cotton right here. And then, of course, we have other things like, okay, Halong Bay, nearer to home, right? We see how the earth and the water intersect, come together. God put the foundations. He set the water where they're meant to be. And then we go to the next one. And this is the deep, where we see the ocean. The ocean is really quite amazing. How deep can the ocean go, right? Mount Everest is close to 9,000 kilometers. Right, the deepest part of the ocean, the Challenger Deep, is almost 11,000 kilometers. It is much deeper than what Mount Everest would be if it's in the water. Right, and the next photo. Okay, I think that's about it. And you see, this is how the psalmist was able to contemplate God's greatness. As he looked at the earth, as he looked at the land, where do the waters all float and where they stay and where they are held, he just saw that this was all God's greatness in the way he created the world. And can we contemplate God's greatness like this as well? You see, today we have many people who claim to know how the world is made. And they make all kinds of statements of how the earth is being created. So I went to Google, you know, the Wave in Arizona, the Rainbow Mountain. Like, how are these formed? And they say it's formed in 190 million years ago, right? Started from there, or 24 million years ago. And then when you Google how old is the Earth, they tell you that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, right? With an accuracy plus minus of 1%. How? Because of radiometric measurement of the oldest rocks. And that was how the world sees it, right? They don't see God behind these things. They just come up with scientific ways and explanations to try to say, oh, this is how things are made. But why can't God, in His greatness, make the world as we see it today? Humans, with our flawed methods to try to analyze the world, of how old it is, why can't God just make it with a word that He speaks? And this is something for us to think about, right? Do we have that contemplation of God's greatness when we look around? I remember when I was much younger and I was in university doing an exchange in London. I went to visit a friend in Cambridge and I joined his friend's Christian Union group. And I met a couple of guys there who were Christians, but they were also majoring in evolution studies. And so I asked them, like, how do you square what you study in evolution with what the Bible says? And for them, they say that, yeah, it's really hard. They really believe in all these things that they're studying. And so the way they reason it is that when Genesis says the world is made in 7 days, it's not a literal 7 days. It's figurative, right? Seven periods of time to capture how the world is made. And that's how they marry what they study in science with what the Bible says. But if we can contemplate God's greatness, we humans think that it takes millions of years for these things to be formed. Why can't God do it with just a word He says? To create it as we see it today, and we use our methods to try to figure it out that it's billions of years when it is not. This is the contemplation that the psalmist had. Not science, not facts, not what people observe, right? Not these things, but just seeing that it was God who laid the foundations of the earth, just as it is. This is what God said to Job in chapter 38, right? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Were you there? Could you determine what age, how old? Absolutely not. God is the one. And this is what the psalmist was able to have. That contemplation. It is God in His greatness that made the world like this. In all its splendor, in all its beauty, everything we see around us made by God. Can we believe that as His people? Now we go on and we look at how the psalmist continued to contemplate God's greatness. Verse 10 down to verse 23. And we see the psalmist seeing God's greatness, not just in creating the world, but in sustaining the world. In verse 10, we see here, He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. And so God provides water for His living creatures to thrive on. He didn't just create them and leave them in a lurch. He provided everything for them to enjoy, for them to thrive, for them to flourish in this world. And so I have a couple of pictures to capture this. Not that many this time. Right? And so this is a lake, right? We talk about the spring, the hills. And this is one of the lakes in Italy. And it just captures, I thought it captures this verse quite well, right? How God sends springs into the hills, into the valleys. And then we see the next picture, how God provides water for every beast of the field. This is a water hole in one of the national parks in Africa. And you see how the animals, amidst the dryness of the land, there are water holes where they could drink water from. And this is how the psalmist contemplated. Thank you. And this is how the psalmist contemplated God's greatness. He created the world as we see it today, boundaries set for waters not to flow. And he sees God sustaining the world in His greatness, providing water to every being where they need water. And then, of course, to provide in verse 13, He waters the hills. Verse 12, by them the birds of the heavens have their home. And then He provides grass, vegetation, food for land, for men and for animals. And that was the kind of contemplation that the psalmist was able to have. He was conscious of God. He contemplated God's greatness as he looked at the world around him. And this is really something for us to think about. You see, for us in Singapore, it is quite hard to really contemplate God's greatness in creation, in nature. You know, we live in Singapore where we are very much man-made. Everywhere we go, we see buildings. Even natural things are like parks for us, right? And everywhere we see is either building or construction. So 2 days ago, I went on a school excursion with my daughter. And so we took the bus from her preschool to the place. And along the way, I thought, no, I should get her to observe nature and outside, and you know, applying some 104, right? But all we saw was just construction sites. construction. So in the end, what I did with her was to count the number of excavators we see on the road. One excavator. We've counted more than 10, by the way. And it can be hard to really see God's greatness in creating the world, in sustaining the world, because we don't have that many natural wonders to observe and to see. But this is where contemplation comes in. It's not just about seeing, it's about thinking. It's about pondering. Right? We have a lot of resources. We can just Google and we can find all these things. But can we contemplate God's greatness as we look at the world around us? All that we have. Right, these photos that I found are not exhaustive. Are not exhaustive of what God has done. There's so many, and I couldn't capture everything. But that's what God has done, His greatness, and the psalmist was able to appreciate it as he thought of it. And so the psalmist thought, as he began, the consciousness of God, the contemplation of His greatness, creating the world, sustaining the world. And there we see in verse 24, he comes to this point where he concludes with this sense of awe and wonder of God. Verse 24 here, he says, "O Lord, how manifold are your works." How manifold? So much. If I want to put all the photos that are online, we're going to be here a long, long time because there are just too many works that God has done. And the psalmist was just caught up with that thought. How manifold are your works? In your wisdom, you have made them all. Who would think of making rainbow mountains? Who would think of making clouds that look like swirls? No one. No one can have that creativity the way God has. In wisdom, He made them all. The whole earth is full of your possessions. Every single living creature on earth belongs to God. The whole earth, full of things that God has made, and they belong to Him. And this is how the psalmist was able to come to this point to praise God with that deep sense of joy, with that deep sense of awe, with that great sense of wonder, that consciousness of God, that contemplation. Brought him to this point where he could praise and bless God like this. And so today, as we come to the end of our message, what is the challenge for all of us as we look at Psalm 104? And the challenge really is this word called cultivate. Can we cultivate a sense of consciousness of God? A greater sense of consciousness.
Can we cultivate our minds to look at God's greatness, to contemplate? Okay, am I right? Okay, great. And that's where we
want to start. Right? We can take small steps, baby steps, to cultivate these things. Right, to be able to have a greater sense of consciousness as we begin the day, just to look at God. Right, when we go out to take the bus, or we go out and we drive our car and we see the sky, can we cultivate a consciousness to see that we can see God in the sky, the light as His garment? the clouds as his chariot. Heaven's just like a curtain to God, his abode up in the waters above the heavens. This is really where we can start to cultivate. And so that's what I've been trying to do for myself, to be able to try to look at the things around me a bit more, to just appreciate the sky a bit more. Some days more hazy, but some days when it's clear, it is beautiful. And then Psalm 104, verse 1 to 4 comes in. As the psalmist saw God's greatness like this, to be able to see God in that light as well. And cultivating that consciousness and to contemplate God's greatness is what would help us to be able to bless the Lord at the level of the soul. You see, sometimes it is hard to bless God when we face problems in life or challenges that are difficult to surmount. And I know that many of us here, we face problems and we have tough situations to grapple with. On a personal front, this year has been challenging for my family. On Yvette's side of the family, we have been facing some health challenges. And it's been tough for us, for both Yvette and I, to navigate and to manage the situation. But what I found that has been really helpful was really to cultivate a greater sense of consciousness of God and to contemplate his greatness. And it is in seeing God for who he is, appreciating God in all his wonder and his glory, that my heart is lifted to praise him, to bless him, not to get so caught up with the problems that we are facing, but to see God for who he is, to stand in awe of him, and to bless him. And somehow, when my heart and my mind are set on God, it brings about the encouragement, the comfort, the peace that I so badly need to face the challenges in life. And this is the beauty of blessing the Lord. When we bless the Lord brings the encouragement and he brings that help. And the heart can be so taken up with God that we can truly live our life well for him, despite all the things that we face in our life. And so this is the challenge that I wish to all of us at this coming CNY. As we go about meeting family, we go about celebrating, go about Bai Nian, let us really learn to cultivate a greater sense of consciousness of God, to contemplate his greatness, and from the level of our soul, may there come the inspiration to bless God for who he is, in all his greatness, in all his glory. Well, the final hymn that we'll be singing this morning is found on the last page of our bulletin. And of course, what will be a fitting hymn to close this message? And it will be our classic hymn, How Great Thou Art. And How Great Thou Art was written by a man called Stuart K. Hein. He was a Swedish pastor back in the 19th century. And he actually wrote How Great Thou Art when he looked at God's creation in the sky one day. He was coming home from an afternoon service, and suddenly on the way home, he saw a great thunderstorm. The winds, the lightning, the clouds, just ferocious and intense. And suddenly it gave way to tranquility and peace. And there he saw the sky in all its beauty. He saw the lake near his place with all its splendor. And the heart was moved to write this hymn that we now have as How Great Thou Art. And so can I invite the praise team to come up and to join me in singing this hymn. This hymn, we're going to sing the HWC version, which is a slightly longer one, because the first two stanzas capture God's greatness in his creation. And I hope that as you take time to sing this together this morning, we will be able to find that inspiration that encouragement, that uplift, to see God in all his greatness and to bless him for it. Let us rise and take our final hymn together.
Oh, my God.
Let us go to the Lord as I give you the benediction. May the Father of glory and grace open our eyes to see the wonder, the splendor of his greatness in all the world around us. May the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lead us to a greater consciousness of his Father and the greatness that he has. And may the Spirit of God grant to us the wisdom and revelation to contemplate how great our Father is in all his glory as we see the world around us. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. Thank you, and really, I hope that as we go about our week this week, as we celebrate Chinese New Year, may we be able to think about these things to cultivate a greater consciousness of God, to contemplate His greatness, and from there, to be able to bless Him at the level of our soul. But let's take time to pray as we go downstairs for lunch. Let us say grace. Our Father, we thank You for Your provision for us as a church, that we can enjoy the many full blessings that You have given to us. Pray that You bless the food that we're about to partake, and be with us and be in our conversations. And may we have our hearts to be inspired collectively to bless Your name. We pray and ask for Your blessing. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.